I just want to talk with you. Last year, at the ending of 2011, the Spirit of God began to share some things with me as a pastor. And in the beginning of the year, some of you would recall, I shared a message concerning the year this year, and I said that God is setting in order certain things. And the reason why he's setting things in order is because for the purpose of God to be fulfilled, the divine order of God has to be in place. And I used the word government, and we talked about the government. And I use several scripture verses. First, I mentioned the number 12. Some of you would recall that message. The number 12 as the number of government. And then we took several illustrations from the Word of God. First of all, I spoke with you about Acts chapter 1, when Jesus had left and left his disciples. He told them to wait in the upper room until they were endued with power from on high. And when he went and when he left, they were all gathered in the upper room. And actually, he told about 500 people or more, but there were only 120 that were gathered in the upper room. And when they were gathered there, this is found in Acts chapter 1, the apostle Peter said, you know, brethren, it's important for us to have someone take Judas Iscariot's place, who by transgression did what he did. It's important for someone to take his place. The reason why it was important was because there were 12 disciples. There were many more, but we're talking about the 12 disciples who Jesus chose and walked with Jesus. There were 12 disciples, and the number 12, again, is the number of government. It was necessary that there were 12. Jesus chose 12. It was necessary that he had a government, that he established his kingdom basically upon the order, the government, the divine order that God had given to him. So that's why you had to have 12 disciples. Just like you had to have 12 tribes of Israel. See, the number 12 is the number of government. Okay? So you had to have the 12 tribes of Israel. And so when because Judas Iscariot had gone to his own place, Peter says, let's draw lots so that we can have the 12th person to be added. And when the 12th person is added, when the order is set, when God's divine order is set, then it is easy for God to go ahead and fulfill what he desires. And so we were sharing that with you, and I told you that this year, 2012, that God is going to put his divine order in place so that once this 2012 is accomplished, then the year 2013, we begin to see the manifestations of the presence of God. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but we have already began to experience some of God's presence. As it's, but we've already began to experience some of it, and this is next month is the 12th month of the 12th year 2012, and I expect God to he is already at work, but he's putting things in place so that his, I hate to use the word move, a lack of words for what God is about to do, but what he's about to do is about to take place. Now, some people have experienced some difficult times during the year 2012. Some people have had the opportunity to put the word of God into operation. Trouble, trial, difficulty. You know, whether it's the economy or relationships or whatever. And some of us have been able to put the word of God to work and to stand firm. So this is what God has said. Some of us have been plagued with, afflicted with sickness, with different things, but we had to put the word to work. Some of us have had financial difficulties, but we had to put the word to work. Some of us have had difficult time with relationships, but we had to put the word to work. It's the only thing that will get you through. It's the word of God. You know that, right? When Jesus went into the wilderness and the devil came to him to tempt him, Jesus said to the devil, when the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread," Jesus said, "Wait a minute, I got to get prayed up." And then Jesus went in a little corner and started to pray so he could get prayed up, right? No. What happened? He had the word that was on the inside. And even though the enemy came to try and get him to go contrary to who he was, to let him doubt who he is, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, Jesus just says, "It is written." He brought out what was on the inside. Say amen. Do you know that it is difficult? Most of us sometimes don't quite understand what the Bible means, you know, when it says the Holy Spirit will come and be your comforter. The Holy Spirit will come and be your comforter. You read that? And it also says that when he comes, he will also bring to your remembrance all that Jesus said. This is all that Jesus has said. Right? This is the word of God, right? It says that he, the Holy Spirit, will bring to your remembrance all that Jesus said. What does remembrance mean? It means it's been there before. And if you and I never take the time to take God's word and put it in here, how can the Holy Spirit be your comforter? How can he bring it to your remembrance? What will he bring to your remembrance? After he brings the two scripture verses that we know, then what else? See, now that's why we get to a certain place and we're defeated by the enemy. That's why the enemy just takes us out. But the more you get into the Word of God, the more you allow the Spirit of God to speak to you, the more you put the Word in you, meditate on it. You say, "Yeah, all this Bible study, you know, I want to see action." You can't have action without the Bible study. You can't have action without the Word. You can't have action without the Spirit bringing it to your remembrance. When you come up against the enemy, if the enemy says to you, if you are really a child of God, you know, remember what you did yesterday? When the enemy says that to you, you kind of back down because you know what you did yesterday was wrong. So you get so condemned and, you know, you can't look people in the eye anymore. You pull away, draw away, you go to hide. I'm telling you, I mean, you can check the church. The church is like that. Come on, talk to me. The church is like that. We pull away. Am I supposed to be preaching or meddling? Is this all right? If the ambassador says it's okay, then it's okay. Are you with me here? The Holy Spirit cannot bring anything to my remembrance if I never put it in there. And so we talk about the Spirit of God led me. The Spirit of God told me. The Spirit of God, you know, and I just listen a little time. How do you know the difference between the Spirit of God and just your nice, cute emotional feeling? You've got to be able to discern. You've got to know what is what. I have a flood. I have my mind is flooded with thoughts all the time. Do this. Go there. Don't do that. All the time. And I have to be able to be quiet enough, to be able to be restful enough to say which of those thoughts are from God and which are not. And the only thing that I have to compare is the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick. It's energetic. It's full of energy. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of what is spiritual and what is soulish, what is carnally minded and what is spiritually minded. It's the Word of God that does that. So I need to fill myself with the Word. God says, if you would keep this Word before your eyes and meditate on it continually, day and night, it says, then you'd be able to make your way prosperous, and then you're going to have good success. It does not depend on anyone else. All about you. You and the Word. When the enemy hits you in the midnight hour, and he says to you, I'm going to kill you. You either say, oh, God, help me. Or you say, who do you think you are talking to? You don't have that authority. I'm the one with the authority. See, easy stuff, right? Easy stuff to say. All you got to do is say it, right? Sure, I don't have a pain in my body right now, so it's easy for me to say. Are you hearing me? I don't have a pain in my body right now, so it's easy for me to stand here and declare it. Especially, you know, under the nice anointing, nice weather, heat, not hungry, beautiful looking people. Right? Hey, yeah, it's easy to say. I'm telling you, the hour can come when the beautiful surrounding become a desert of 120 degrees. Where the nice green grass becomes sand that is so hot that it's a place only the serpents and scorpions can live. I'm kind of describing to you the difference between Eden and the wilderness. Because that's where Jesus had to deal with the stuff. The last Adam had to deal with it in the wilderness, in the hot desert, hungry. The other Adam, or the first Adam, had a nice garden. All the food he wanted. Everything was nice and wonderful. When the midnight hour comes, when the devil rings the doorbell, and you answer, and you see him standing at the front door, it is not time for you to say to him, wait right there. And then you go into your basement and start pumping iron. That's not the time to do it. Are you with me? That's not the time to do it. The time to do it is every day when you spend the time, you spend your time with God, put his Word before your eyes. You continue in that so that when the trouble comes, you're able to deal with it. Now, I'm careful because, you know, sometimes anything you say, and I've experienced this over the years, anytime you say something, there's somebody in the congregation thinks that you're speaking about a specific situation between you and them. Do you know that? You know, so sometimes, you know, sometimes you have to block things out of our minds when we're ministering, right? We can't think about, you know, because I might be thinking about something and the Spirit of God says something to me, and then I look at you, and then I remember you and I had a similar conversation or something like that. And then I'm going to back up and say, oh, I can't say that, because if I say that, he's going to think I'm talking about him. Hello, are you hearing me? So, you know, the Bible says, you know, like God told Jeremiah, he says, you look right in their faces or look above their heads. That's what I do. I look above the head. Because I can't be intimidated. I can't remember. You know, sometimes I look at you and I don't know if you're happy or not. Yeah? I might be looking at you and you might be looking at me like this. So I don't know if you were mad at me or if you're mad at what I'm saying or if you just didn't have breakfast or I don't know what's going on, you know. So I have to, you know, I have to kind of look above. Or sometimes, and I learned this really, I'm not preaching anymore, just meddling right now. I learned this from, you know, when I was a young minister, one of the ministers said to me, he says, when that happens, this is what you do. You forget about all the proper things that you are taught about, having proper eye contact so you could, you know, look, make sure you have contact with everyone. So you're not just talking to one group of people. He says, throw all that out the window. And find the one or two people who seem to be enjoying what you're saying, even if they're not, but they seem to be enjoying it, and focus on them. You went to the same school, right? Oh, glory to God. I stand up here every day, every Sunday or whatever, you know, and you know, I don't know what's going through your mind, you know, but I can't allow that to dictate to me really what goes on, what I'm saying. I can't. I have to think about what God is saying. And so sometimes I write the notes down and never preach from it, but at least it's written down. So just in case you say that, well, you're supposed to be studying the word, you know, I could say to you, well, I am. Lord, have mercy. I start off sharing the word of God, and then I get into these. I don't know where I am right now. Anyway. Let me get back to you. The Holy Spirit cannot bring anything to your remembrance if you didn't put it there. So many times we have people say, well, the Spirit of God told me. And, well, they probably won't. Some folks may have said it to you, but when folks talk to me like that, you know, I listen. Right. Another thing people come and they say is that, well, the Spirit of the Lord told me, God told me, for example, to go to. The Nisa and to tell them to give me a car. What do you think? Well, Sister Princess says if God told them, they better come back with the car. But if you asked me, if you came and you told me that and you said, what do you think? I'm going to ask you, why are you asking me that? Why are you asking me that? Why would you insult me and insult God? That if God tells you to do something, that you've got to come and tell me and ask me, what do I think? Isn't that crazy? I would think if God told you to do it, that settles it. Well, God told me to do this. Well, I just want to follow proper protocol, and I just want to come to you and let you know. Well, then if you want to come to me and let me know, you come to me and you let me know. You come to me and say, Pastor, God told me to go to Nissan and to tell them to give me a car. And I would say, praise the Lord. You see, because God told you. Now, if you were not quite sure and you said, Pastor, I got this impression and I think it's the Lord. I believe it's the Lord. I'm not quite sure. And it's to go to Nissan and to tell them to give you a car. What do you think? Then you can engage me in conversation. Then I'll get involved with that. I'll probably say, well, what makes you think it's the Lord? And is this what you're saying consistent with God's word? What are the authorities saying? For example, if it's a husband and he's telling me this, I'm going to ask him, well, what does your wife say? Well, she doesn't know spiritual things. Usually it's the other way around, because in most cases the women are usually more spiritual than the men. And women seem to be more consistent than men. Right? So usually it's a woman who's saying that, and she normally says, well, my husband doesn't know spiritual things. So I can't ask him. What are you saying to me? You telling me now that I need to take the place of your husband? No, I would ask you all those questions because I know, basically, from the Word of God, I know how God operates. Now, when I say I know how God operates, please understand. God operates with certain principles and precepts. Now, the way that God does certain principles and precepts, or copy them out, may not be the same way all the time. So when I say I know God's, you know, God's, I mean I know His principles and His precepts. In other words, God can choose to do something one way today, and then tomorrow do the same principle in another way. But the principle is the same. The method that He uses might be a little different. In other words, if you believe in God for healing, God may choose immediately, instantaneously, to give you a healing right there and then. Or it may be that He may use somebody else in assisting in that healing. Are you with me? Or you may be believing God for some finances. Now, God can allow, you know, you to go down the street and open a fish's mouth and take the coin out of the fish's mouth, and, you know, God could do that. Or God can bring someone who can come and write you a check. I mean, there are many ways in which God could do what He's doing. So when I say that I know God's, you know, when I say I know how God functions, I'm talking about principles. Are you with me? So if you come to tell me or ask me something and I don't know and you're not sure about it, then I will engage. If you come to tell me or ask me after you told me that God told you, then I will disengage. I'll just let you go ahead. So that's not being a good under shepherd. That's not helping. But why would you want to come and tell me what God told you if you are completely confident and 100% sure that it was God? There is God's divine order that He is working with us with, so that we can move into what God has for us. When I shared with you about the 12, I used the Jairus' daughter. When Jairus came to Jesus and said, "My daughter is dead. Would you come and lay your hands on her that she should live?" And Jesus said, "Okay." The daughter was 12 years old. Again, the number 12 symbolizing that government. The same chapter, while he was on his way, there was a woman with an issue of blood. She was bound for 12 years. The number 12, again, is a significant number. And you see the 12 appearing before the manifestation of whatever it is comes to pass. 12 years bound with this sickness, then came the deliverance. 12 apostles or disciples, 12 of them. Once the 12 of them came into, you know, they had the 11 and they added the one, it's 12. Then the next move of God could take place, which was the day of Pentecost. The Spirit of God came, moved. Jairus' daughter, 12 years old. See the number 12 established, but after that comes the being raised from the dead. It's a pattern. It's a principle. When you go to the book of Revelation, and you would see the 12 foundations, as it's stated there, then, see, we enter into a new Jerusalem. So there's an order, there's a pattern that God has there. And then he spoke to us, and he said to us, in 2012, he would be setting up his order. Now, some of you, when this was shared, probably it went in one ear and went out the other, or it didn't register to you. But it registered with me. And it was important that it register with me, since I was the one who was sharing it. Right at that time, some of you may have recalled that I read a letter that was given, right? Since Isaiah brought that letter from the Spirit of Prophecy, those people were declaring and saying exactly the same thing. Those people, and I think those people, Bill Hammond and his, you know, his group there, they are credible folks in the gospel. And they function in the gift of prophecy, the prophetic gift. When I say the gift of prophecy, the prophetic gift, I'm not talking mainly about someone calling you out and telling you something about your life. That's one aspect of the gift of prophecy functioning. But I'm talking about in the office of a prophet, basically, where the direction and the guidance and the words that they give is usually a word for the general group, not just an individual per se. When we get into the gifts of the Spirit and stuff like that, those are some of the things that we need to understand. God always confirms His word. He confirms His word. He confirms His word. He always does it. You know, why sometimes because of who we are, because sometimes we, you know, we're a little skeptical in things that we hear and what we see. So God has to come and confirm things. Normally, when someone comes and gives you a prophetic word, you know, that prophetic word that you get, please don't run out and follow or do that prophetic word when someone gives you a prophetic word. See, because when you get a prophetic word, the prophetic word that you get is supposed to do two things. Either bear witness with what God has already spoken to you, or it is there giving you encouragement until God speaks to you. It can work both ways. But what happens is a lot of people, they hear a prophetic word. Well, God says that you are going to go around the world. You are going to preach the gospel around the world. And immediately they get that stuff and they wanna pack their bags and, you know, start going around the world. But come on, how possible is that? You know, before you could go around the world, you should really at least go around the block. You know, so you know how to handle it. You know, you want to go around the world. You know, you want God to do all this stuff with you. And God has a process. He has principles that He uses. He says, for example, you know, you want to be a leader, a pastor of a church. You want to be a leader. If you can't handle your own household, then how are you going to take care of the church? Are you with me here? But we hear that, and immediately, you know, we don't realize that there's a process involved. You know, there's a process involved. You know, God wants to work with you. God wants to develop you. God says, you know, I have blessed you. I will give you the wealth of the unjust. I put it into your hands. And right away, we get all crazy with that. Oh, I got the wealth of the unjust. No, there's nothing wrong in saying it. But you know, you've got to understand too that there's a principle involved and a process involved so that the thing can happen. God functions in divine order. He has a divine government. And see, even though when we look with these natural eyes and see things that look so, they look so chaotic, in God's mind, He already has the thing set and He knows how it's going to work. So God is requiring you and me to learn how to trust Him, not look at the situations and the circumstances and everything that is around us. Because when you do that, you go by what you see, and the enemy uses that stuff to keep you in a place of unbelief. Are you with me here? Come on, I'm trying to help you. We're moving. This is 2012. We're moving into the 12th month. I don't know about you. I'm full of expectation, Brother Junior. I'm full of expectation. I'm expecting everything that God has said, everything that He has said, I'm expecting it to come to pass. And you know what? The little signs of them are already, they're already happening. I'm seeing people learning how to take the Word of God, regardless of situations and circumstances, and stand on the Word of God and say, no, this is what God has said, and that's the end of it. Now that turns me on, because that's what it's all about. I think we're doing all this teaching and teaching and talking and teaching. You know, I mean, sometimes do you realize that when I come in here that I don't get on the musical part of the church? Now, that's not because I can't sing. I can sing, right? All preachers could sing. You know, I don't really get involved, you know, and it's not that the music and the worship part of the church is not important to me. It's very important. Very, very important. Well, you know, I recognize and listen, I'm not too good at that stuff, you know. So why don't you let the people who could do it do it? So when I come, I don't even get involved with the announcements. I give announcements now and then, but I don't really get involved with the announcements. The only thing that I get involved with basically is this word. I get into that word. I get into that word and I share with you and I share with you. And even though I share the same thing all the time, it's all right because I need to share the same thing all the time, all the time, The reason why, it's until we get it. Let me ask you this question. How many of you here went to high school or is going to high school? All right. How many of you here, when you went to high school, went to classes most of the time? What's this? No, put your hand up. Let me see. You mean I have a whole bunch of rebels in there? You didn't go to classes? Most of you went to class all the time, yes? Okay, now, and this time I want you to raise your hand very, very high. How many of you were straight A students? Raise your hand. Jackie, put your hand down. How many of you were straight A students? Let me see. No. There should be at least one hand. One hand? Another straight A student? Yeah, this is very perplexing. Because here you went to school every day, almost. You know, you listened to the teacher and you got the assignments and all that stuff, and yet you didn't get an A. So what makes you think that when you come, now, when you went to school, when you were in your class, even though the enemy was against you, he wasn't against you that much because he didn't care whether you were very educated or not, as far as the education of the world is concerned. But when it comes to spiritual things, he wants to make sure that you don't get it. Now, you went to school every day almost, and you didn't get all A's, and you didn't have the enemy fighting you at that time, trying to oppose you at that time, not in that manner. But here you come in the kingdom of God, and you are hearing this stuff every time, the same thing over and over. Don't you think the enemy is fighting you? Don't you think that he wants to keep you away from getting this stuff? That's why he keeps fighting you, pressuring you, and pushing you, and trying to get you uncomfortable and get your mind, you know, focus on other things and other places. He is at work because your education may not do anything as far as your spiritual life, but your spiritual education knows, he knows that you're going to be walking on him. He knows the minute you get that thing in focus that his days are numbered. Now, when I say his days are numbered, his days are already numbered. But you and I will hasten his days being numbered. So now, why would he not fight you? Why do you think it's, you know, you read this book, this good book, it was a real nice book. The minute you start reading the Bible, you fall asleep. Ooh, what is this? You know what I'm talking about, right? Why? You know, you don't understand what's going on. God has a divine order that he set. Nothing is going to disrupt God's order. What God has spoken is because he has the perfect timing. He knows you. He knows me. He knows how we function. He knows the enemy. He knows what the enemy would do, when he would do it, why he would do it, where he would do it. He knows all that. Sometimes he even allows the enemy to go ahead and do his stuff because he knows that you are in a place to be able to put him in his place. You ever think about Job? You know what God said to Job? You know, when you know the whole story, right? God said to Satan, you know, the sons of men, the sons of God appeared before the Lord, the angels of the Lord. And Satan, the audacity, he went with them. And then God said to him, hey, what are you doing here? Where are you coming from? He said, to and fro in the earth. You know what why he's going to and fro in the earth, right? He wants to find He wants to find somebody to beat up on. Why was he going to and fro? See, because even though the authority was basically released to him on the earth, because he deceived the woman into getting it and got it from the man, yet he just doesn't have the power just to get you to do anything that he wants. So it says, God says to him, what do you think of my servant Job? He's all right. He's okay. He loves you, but with a condition. What do you mean? What condition? He look at you. You put a hedge around him, you protect him, you kept him. You know, nobody could touch him. But you pull that hedge from around him, and I bet you he curses you to your face. You know, God says to him, look, all that he has is in your power, but don't touch his life. So you know the story. Job went ahead. Satan went ahead. Did all this stuff. Job touches. What did he touch? He touched his possession. Is he touching your possession? Touch his relationships, his family? Isn't he after your family? And he was doing all that to get him to curse God. Same thing he's doing with you, or trying to do with you. Trying to attack your relationships. That's what he does with the church. He attacks the relationships in the church. And when we allow him, he puts us in a bind. He did all that stuff. And yet, Job refused to curse God. God allowed Satan to attack Job because God knew Job. See, God can't allow some of you to be attacked like that because he knew you, or he knows you, and he knows that you're going to crack. Now, don't look at me like that. I'm just speaking scripture. The Bible says that there is no temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation that taken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. So every trouble and every trial and every temptation that comes your way, it is because God sees that you are in a place where you can handle that. You all right? So some of you who are going through experiences, whether it's with your body or with your relationships or with your finances or whatever, bear this in mind. If you are truly a child of God, God knows what you are able to handle. And he has already made the way of escape. You didn't hear me. I said he has already made the way of escape, because it says that there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, that God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation. Whenever the enemy brings the temptation, God has already made a way for you to overcome it. So what do you have to be concerned about? You're going through a sickness in your body, in your family. You have to be able to say, this is not unto death. You have to be able to say that God knew that this was coming my way, and he knows that I have what is necessary and what it takes to overcome this. Now let the Holy Spirit go back into your remembrance and download what's in there so that you can say to the enemy, get thee behind me, Satan. Don't you know who you're dealing with? I am washed in the blood. I am covered in the anointing of God. Can't you see who you're standing in front of? You're standing in front of Jesus. You are, right? Yes. You are the body of Christ. Set your government in order. That's why we talk so much about the kingdom. Set it in order. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. The government of God. Put it in order. Why? So that God's purpose can come to pass. I'm telling you, we are in that place. You didn't hear me. I said we're in that place. We're in that place. We are 2012. 12 month, the 12th year, we are in that place. Only because God spoke it to us in the beginning of the year. So, I don't know about anybody else. See, my eyes are focused. It's like a flint. It's set before the word of God. I know what God has said. So, I am not moved things that are seen. And one says, what's the story with all these empty chairs? What empty chairs? I'm not moved by one thing. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what folks say. I'm not moved by the situations. I'm not moved by what the devil says. I simply know that when God says something, he just needs someone to come in agreement with what he has said. That's what we do. We know how to agree. Can you agree with God? What shall separate you from the love of God? Trouble? Tell me what? Say nothing. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Yeah, but Lord, when is this going to happen? Please don't think like that. Come on, keep your focus on him. What he says will come to pass. Listen, no trouble, no trial for the moment when you are going through it is pleasant. It's pleasant. Listen, it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant. But you've got to hold firm to what God has said. Keep your eyes focused on him, because the weeping that you're enjoying for the night, joy is going to come in the morning. I'm telling you, no matter what it looks like, you will get through this stuff. You will. Listen, you will. You will. And let me say this to you. Listen, we are going to do this thing, listen to me, together. You know what the book of Ephesians says? It says that I might be able to grasp what is the length, the depth, and the height, and the width, height and the width. That I will be able to grasp all this stuff with all saints. Oh, glory to God. That's the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God. That's the people who are born of God. Now, you know, we're living in a professing world. You've got a whole group of people who say they are. But you and I don't go by what we feel and what we see. We go by the discerning of the Spirit of God. That means that God knows all those who are his. Doesn't the scripture say that? God knows all those who are his. No one fools God. You might fool other people. You might fool me. You might fool somebody else. But you cannot fool God. God knows those who are his. End of story. I'm all right. I feel good. I feel good. God knows who I am. God knows when I'm fooling. God knows if I'm playing. God knows if I'm serious. God knows who I am. God knows all in here who belong to him. God knows those who are his. Oh, glory to God. He doesn't lose not one. He will not lose not one. Someone, didn't he lose Judas Iscariot? No, because Judas Iscariot was never one of his. The Bible says that Judas Iscariot went to his own place. God knows who is his. He knows who we are. You and I just need to be convinced of that. Just be convinced of it. God has set his government in order. And he set his government in order because now God is about to bring to pass the words that you have been speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking. Now we talk about the manifestation. Now is the hour of the manifestation of God for us. We're in a good place. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment will be condemned. God knows those who are his. Neither death nor life nor principality nor power. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Listen, we are in a good place. As the people of God, we're in a good place. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're in a good place. We're in a good place. We're in a good place. In God's divine order, in God's divine government. Now just begin to open your heart and express and declare all that God has said, because everything that is written down is being fulfilled. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. No good thing. No good thing. There is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment for those that are in Christ Jesus. That's who you are. God has put his government in order. He's put his government in order. The government came on the shoulders of Jesus. That's why we've talked so much about the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. Don't get tired of it, folks. Don't get tired of it. Just keep saying it and keeping it before your eyes, because God is in that hour. 2012. You know, the world was saying all kinds of stuff about 2012, right? Well, we declare what God says concerning us, the family of God. Are you with me? Are you ready for what God has for you? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Stand with me if you will, please.